Good morning, everybody. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
In the absence of the rector this morning, Canon Walter and I, who will be leading worship, welcome all. But in particular, any who may be here as visitors, we hope that you will find this act of worship helpful. We're delighted you're here, and we also would be very pleased to meet you at the conclusion of the service so that we can give you a parish magazine and maybe tell you a little bit about this parish. Details of this morning's service can be found on Pew News, the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Conscious of our own failings, let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Please stand. O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth will proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
The appointed psalm, number 89, and I'm going to suggest that we say this psalm as we will this morning in alternate verses. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him.
My hand shall hold him fast, and my arm shall strengthen him.
No enemy shall deceive him, nor any wicked person afflict him.
I will strike down his foes before his face, and beat down those that hate him.
My truth also and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his head be exalted.
I will set his dominion.
He shall call to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation.
And I will make him my firstborn, the most high above the kings of the earth.
The love I have pledged to him will I keep forever, and my covenant will stand fast with him.
His seed also will I endure forever, and his throne for the days of heaven.
But if his children forsake my law and cease to walk in my judgments, but I will not take from him my steadfast love, nor suffer my truth to fail.
My covenant will I not break, nor alter what has gone out of my lips.
Once for all have I sworn by my holiness that I will not prove false to David.
His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me.
It shall stand fast forever as the moon, the enduring witness in the heavens. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Please sit for the Old Testament reading.
We have been hearing over recent weeks how God blessed Abraham for his faith, and for a while, all seems well, as God's will has worked out first through a son, and now the birth of grandsons. But God's eternal good purpose constantly suffers setbacks through human selfishness and deceit, not least within a family. The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 to 34. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padan Aram, sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife, Rebekah, conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is to be this way, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. One shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger." When her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red. All his body was like a hairy mantle, so they named him Esau. Afterwards, his brother came out with his hand gripping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished." Therefore he was called Edom. Jacob said, "First sell me your birthright." Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went away. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
The Canticle Jubilate, this morning we're going to say this together. Would you stand, please? Oh, shout to the Lord in triumph, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his face with songs of joy. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Come into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, and bless his holy name. For the Lord is good, his loving mercy is forever, his faithfulness throughout all generations. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be.
We move from the Old Testament to the New. Would you sit, please, for the reading from the New Testament?
If you have ears, then hear a parable. God's presence and God's word are broadcast everywhere, like seed falling in every kind of soil and climate. To you it has been given to hear and understand and be fruitful. The New Testament reading is from Matthew, chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30.
Our services in St. Columba's are characterised by the quality of music. I say that this morning because in the months of July and perhaps also in August, many of the canticles, and this morning is such an occasion, are said instead of being sung. And that provides us with the opportunity of looking more closely at the words of those canticles and the realisation that virtually all of our service of morning prayer is taken from Scripture. We've been in the Old Testament and the New, and now we're going to join in saying the canticle song of Isaiah, reverting once more to the Old Testament. Please stand. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say on that day, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
May I speak in the name of our ever-living and ever-loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. First of all, a little word to any of the teachers who might be here in church this morning. Teachers, have you ever had to say to your class, "Will you stop talking and pay attention?" Have you ever had to say, "Will you stop fidgeting and listen to what I'm trying to teach you?" Or would you have said, "Will you put your pens down and look up and listen to what I'm trying to teach you?" Maybe you've got such wonderful pupils you've never had to say anything like that before to any of them. Even, I tell you, no word of a lie, but even choir members have had to be told by an organist. Will you listen to each other and pay attention to what you're meant to be singing? Well, Jesus began a very, very popular parable, known to us all as the parable of the sower. We learn it from Sunday school days. But how does he begin his parable? Such great crowds gathered around him, he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen." That's how he begins his parable. Listen. And further down we read, at the end of this parable, "Let anyone with ears listen." But of course, Jesus knew only too well that not everyone wanted to listen. Some were far too busy to want to be bothered. They don't like new stuff. They don't like things that might make them feel a little bit uncomfortable. And Jesus was saying things like that. There again, there were some, like the Pharisees, who were not about to listen to a young itinerant preacher telling them things about God. What has he got to teach us? But on the other hand, there were lots of people who did follow him and who did want to hear what he had to say. So much so that he no longer taught in the synagogues. He preferred to be out in the open air. He preferred to be by the lakeside or on the hill countries around Galilee, because those hill countries around there served as a very, very good and a very practical way of listening and hearing people. They provided a natural amphitheatre where the people would have sat around the hills. And here in this parable, Jesus gets into a boat. In other words, he moves a little further from the land. Probably St. Peter's boat, we don't know. But anyway, he moved a little further away from the land so that he could speak to the people without them crowding round him, so that he could speak to the people without having to shout. And they would hear his message very well and very clearly. Perhaps he had seen a man sowing his seed in the field, a nearby field, and he talked to them about that. Some seed fell on a pathway. No good. Birds ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky ground. No good, because there was no depth of soil. Some seed fell on thorny ground. No good, choked by the weeds. But other seed fell on good ground and produced a rich harvest. Now, we all know the meaning of the parable. I don't need to go into great detail about that. It's quite plain. And it's all down to listening. It's all down to hearing the word of God and being receptive to the word of God. The seed that fell on the pathway couldn't germinate, couldn't get into the ground, so it disappeared. The birds took it away. People stop listening so that the word does not germinate into the mind. It is shallow. Likewise, the seed that fell on the rocky ground had no depth. Again, the word cannot penetrate because it fell largely on deaf ears. They would listen for a while, but then go away and forget about it. The seed that fell on the thorns, choked by other plants and other weeds, are those who, yes, they have been interested in what Jesus was saying, all good stuff, all relatively new stuff. But we've so many other things to think about. There's so many other ideologies that we've got to worry about and think about and pray about and do all sorts of things that's choked. The thorns have choked all these other ideologies in the world. It's only the good soil that is receptive to the word. The soil that not only hears the word, but lets it bed deep down into the mind and to think about it. Now, bear that in mind for a moment. Let's think of the Old Testament lesson about Jacob and Esau. Esau was the hunter. Jacob was the shepherd. And there was always friction between those two. Esau had been out hunting. Jacob was at home making what obviously was a very tasty stew. Esau comes back absolutely starving. "Can I have a bowl of that stew, please?" And Jacob thinks to himself, well, Esau is the older twin by a few minutes, and I should serve him. But it's not going to be that way. And so he decides, first of all, sell me your birthright, Esau. "Oh, well, all right, what use is my birthright if I'm absolutely starving to death? The birthright is yours. Just give me that lovely bowl of stew." And so, sadly, Esau sells his birthright for a mere bowl of stew. That begs a question, doesn't it? Do we, as a nation, sell our Christian heritage, our Christian birthright, or lesser voices for rather more popular voices of the day? Are we, as a nation and a country that is supposed to be Christian, do we readily part with our solid teaching on the scriptures that have guided us through the years, that have helped to mold our nation? Are we willing to part with those Christian teaching for shallow sectarianism? For all the new teachings, all the new ideologies of the day, which are here today and gone tomorrow. But do we do that? Do we sell our birthright for a bowl of stew because we no longer listen to the voice of God in the scriptures? Therefore, no wonder Jesus began such an important parable with the word, "Listen, And the question is, do we?
Those of us who have come to worship have heard the Word of God read, heard the Word of God expounded, and now it is our opportunity to make a response, our testimony of faith, if you like, in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen.
And grant her heaven with wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shout for joy.
O Lord, save your people. Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be with all our life.
O God, may clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
The appointed prayer for this Sunday and week, the fifth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Grant that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favour, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally by your mercy attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We heard this morning in the gospel passage, and reference to it in the sermon, the parable of the sower. We are conscious of how dependent we are on God's natural creation and the way in which we use it and not abuse it. And so this morning we pray for a proper use of the earth's resources. We rejoice, O Lord, that you have made the earth so rich in natural resources, and we pray that we may learn to use them responsibly, not wasting them on what we do not need, not polluting the soil, the air, and the sea, not wantonly destroying the life of animals and plants, but taking care to hand on to others an earth fit for the life of all people, to the honour of your name. Amen. Amen. We heard also this morning of the relationship, rather fractious relationship, between two brothers. We're conscious that very often in life there are differences of opinion within families, within communities. Therefore, we pray this morning for family life. We pray that the positive things in family life may influence and spread out for the good into the community of which we are part. Father of all, accept our thanks for the joys and the challenges of family life. Help us so to live that we may strengthen and enrich the life of the family and of the wider community. Help us to build with you the kind of family which welcomes the stranger, the lonely, and the needy. Teach us through our small family units to love the family of all people and to realize our part in it. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Many people, as we realize, are on holiday at present. We pray for those known to us in this parish, our rector and his family, and many others who are enjoying a break from the normal everyday routine of life. We pray also for holiday clubs and for those who provide good sustenance and goodness physically and emotionally and spiritually for people of all ages during this holiday season. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the holidays and for all times of rest and recreation. Give refreshment of body and spirit to our friends who are now on holiday, that they and all of us may return to our daily lives and to our fellowship with new strength and a new vision of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We think in our own individual ways of those known to us who are sick at this time, in mind, in body, or in spirit. We pray for those who've suffered the pain of bereavement recently, praying that they may be comforted and strengthened. We pray for one another and for each one of you, particularly if you are facing challenges and opportunities in the days to come. And so in our own individual ways, in the quietness of this church, we pray for a short time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As an act of fellowship together, we join in the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Into the hands of your love and mercy, O God, our Father, we commit our lives this day and this week, our work and the tasks that await us, our homes and the members of our families, our loved ones, and especially all those known to us in need. Give us guidance, your strength, and your protection according to our needs. And throughout this week, keep us abiding in your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Go forth from this place in peace. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you now and always.